Welcome to the Sales Podcast, session 58. It's time for some LinkedIn thinking. Welcome to the 58th edition of the Sales Podcast. I'm Wes Schaefer, the Sales Whisperer, your host. Today, we've got Brenda Bernstein, all the way from Madison, Wisconsin. Brenda is an English major from Yale, then became an attorney. And a writer, an editor, and now is a LinkedIn expert. But with her English major background in mind, today's funny goes something like this. What happened when past, present, and future walked into a bar? It was tense. Ooh, I'm going to let you savor that one for a little bit. That's a good one, huh? Uh-huh. All right, maybe not. But hey, it's a clean one that you can tell over and over and over again. Speaking of telling it over and over again, we can never get too much of the Sales Podcast manifesto, which goes like this. Today is my day. I work diligently towards my goals, which are bigger than me. I bite off more than I can chew because only then will I truly know my current limits, and surpassing them becomes my new goal for today. Through education, accountability partners, and bold, decisive action, today will be better than yesterday, and tomorrow will be better yet. I'm ready to produce. With that being said, be sure to check out my new program, marketlikeaman.com. You can sign up for the early bird special right now. When this podcast is released, I'll be unveiling this new program at Infusionsoft's annual conference, Icon 14. But you will want to get in as I launch this because it will never be priced this low ever again. So it's priced that way because it's new. It's priced that way to reward the action takers. So if you want to produce great results in your business with a lifetime membership, one-time payment, please visit marketlikeaman.com. And now here's Miss Brenda Bernstein. Brenda Bernstein, the SA expert. Thanks for joining the Sales Podcast. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. How are you?
I am good. Thanks for finding me a couple of weeks ago, I guess. We've been chatting about Infusionsoft and some other things, but ran across your website and your services, and in particularly how to write a killer LinkedIn profile. But would you mind taking a few minutes and just giving everybody a quick introduction to you and your business and how you came to be where you are, and then we'll jump into it?
That could be a long story, Wes.
That's fine. We'll just sit here and listen.
I would say my beginnings are really in writing. I was an English major at Yale, and then later I got my law degree. But really, I just kept coming back to writing. And my friends would always find me if they were applying to school or their kids were applying to college or anything like that. People would always find me to help them with their essays.
Gotcha.
So I started doing that, and I also started working for Kaplan as a law school admissions consultant. So I got really into that world of what makes a good essay to get into school. And as sort of a natural outcropping of that, I started working on people's resumes as well. And after 10 years of practicing law, I decided I wanted to move on and start a business. And that's when I started the Essay Expert. And that was in 2009, about 5 years ago.
Okay.
And I pretty quickly built up the business writing resumes. I discovered that you can be a certified resume writer. I never knew that before.
Wow.
So I've gone on to get several resume certifications, and I've just sent in some materials to get an executive resume certification. And there's a whole world out there of resume writing, and there are resume awards, would you believe? You can actually enter into contests for resume writing. So,
does the resume have to be accurate? Is it like this work of fiction?
You're allowed to embellish just a little bit when you submit for the awards. I will be honest with you about that. And as I was doing all of this, I really realized if I'm going to be a business owner, I've got to have a LinkedIn profile. I've got to make it actually work for me. So I signed up on LinkedIn, or I think I maybe was already on LinkedIn, but barely, kind of right. like a lot of people out there are. And I said, okay, I got to take this seriously. I'm getting this vibe that LinkedIn is the place to be if you're a business owner, if you want to generate business online. So I did it, and I started connecting with people. And this one guy I connected with was in marketing, and I knew nothing about marketing. I mean, I was an English major, and then I went to law school. Like, you don't learn about marketing doing yeah. that. And then, you know, I worked for nonprofits. Where would I have learned about marketing? So I'm like, oh, great, a guy who knows about marketing. And the first thing he told me was, give away free stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I said, all right. He said, you should give away free LinkedIn profile reviews. So I started doing it. And I started reviewing people's profiles for free. I'd only did maybe 20, 25 of them, going through each section of the profile. And what started to happen was I started to see very common errors that people were making. And I started then... Oh, so the other thing that someone told me, my web designer actually, was I needed to have a blog, because blog was like the cool thing to do. This is 5 years ago. Not everyone was blogging at that time. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, if you got a website, you really have to blog. And I said, no, I don't want to blog. I'm going to have to write a blog.
You're a writer and didn't want to blog?
No, it was too much of a commitment, Wes. I was going to have to write something every week. Plus, I'm more of an editor than a writer. I have been in my life. I'm a really sharp editor, and I didn't actually do a lot of writing myself. But as I started doing these LinkedIn profile reviews, the same errors kept coming up and coming up. So I thought, oh, you know, here's a topic I could write about in my blog. I could write something every week, because look at all these things that are going on LinkedIn. So I started writing articles about the mistakes that people were making on LinkedIn and giving LinkedIn tips. And people really liked those. I was posting those on LinkedIn. People were reading them, commenting on them. And that's really what started the whole thing. Because before I knew it, I had so much material that I was writing about LinkedIn that it was really time to compile it all into a book. And that's what I did.
Wow. All right.
And I started charging for my LinkedIn profile reviews as well. You know, those free ones. Then I did like 25 of them for $25 each, and those got snatched up. And I kept learning and learning as I went along. Then right. It went to 50. So, you know, the price kept going up. Now it's like $197 for a profile review. So that's sort of how I got to where I am now.
Very cool. And all of that. So in 2009, when the world was collapsing and the sky was falling, you were crazy enough to start a business. What were you thinking?
I wasn't thinking, Wes. I was thinking, you know what I was thinking is, there's no one who's going to hire me to do anything. I'm an English major and a public interest lawyer. If I'm not going to practice law, I don't want to practice law. What else am I going to do?
Right.
I did actually, I got a part-time job in the career services at the law school at the UW, University of Wisconsin.
Okay.
So I did actually find a little bit of work here and there, but that they ended up hiring someone else full-time, and then that part-time position went away. And I didn't know what else I was going to do. So I was like, well, I know what my talents are. People always find me to do these things. So
right.
I should probably just create it. And the other thing about starting a resume writing business in a time when people are losing their jobs is that some people are willing to invest in a new resume in that kind of economic climate.
Right.
And I guess the other thing that went through my head was that I could create anything. And there were plenty of people succeeding, even in that economic climate. There were people starting businesses and doing well. There's always money out there.
Right.
And it's just whether you find the right way to get some for yourself, right?
So did you quit your law job just cold turkey? Did you have a business plan, or did you have money saved up? I mean, what gave you the courage, you know, to make that leap? Because a lot of people freeze, you know, from leaving a comfortable job.
I did. I quit it cold turkey. I was actually living in New York at the time, in Brooklyn, New York, and working in Brooklyn at this nonprofit organization. And my law school loans were paid off, were just about paid off. So that's what gave me the financial confidence, I would say, to say, okay, I'm going to start out on my own. And yes, I did have money saved. But at the same time as I quit my job, I moved. I left New York to a place where I thought I could get a little more space, an apartment. I got a 2-bedroom apartment. One of the bedrooms is now my office. This is in Madison, Wisconsin. So I really changed my life quite significantly. Right. And I have some savings, and I also knew that I would get some work from Kaplan, because I work for Kaplan still as a law school admissions consultant. And that year was actually a really big year for law school admissions consulting with Kaplan. So I had that income for a few months, okay, which kept me going. And then I owned an apartment in Brooklyn. I rented that out, made a little bit of money from that. And I found these part-time jobs. So everything kind of worked itself out. But I'm at the point now where I'm almost completely full-time doing the essay expert, other than Kaplan will send me a couple of clients here and there. But things have slowed down on their end and picked up for me, which is the way I like it.
Right. Well, and if you like the work with Kaplan, I mean, nothing ever says, you know, you have to quit everything, right? Some people are under this misnomer, you know, that, oh, to be an entrepreneur, I can't have a job or a regular consulting gig. And it's like, nothing can be further from the truth. You know, if you like what you do and it pays you well, keep doing it, you know, but just always have something of your own to fall back on, you know, when that corporate America or whatever other gig dries up, which it will eventually, you know, because you're not in control of it.
It might, and it's actually dwindled down quite a bit, which has worked out fine for me. But what I get from it is a community. So if I have questions about law school admissions, I have a community of people I can ask, which is really great.
Yep.
And I get to work for a large corporation that gets discounts for Verizon and AT&T and Apple and all kinds of things like that. And sometimes, you know, so that's all really nice to actually work for Kaplan.
Yep. So looking at LinkedIn though, what can you tell our listeners? What are the mistakes you see? What can they do other than hiring you, which they all should. And it's the essayexpert.com, and they can get your books too, which we'll mention in a little bit. But what are the mistakes you see?
Well, in my book, I cover 18 mistakes.
Oh, wow.
That I find people are making on LinkedIn, and actually more, because there are 18 mistakes, and then there's some bonus tips as well that include other mistakes that people are making. Some of the biggest ones, let's see, I'm going to look at my table of contents. I'm sort of cheating here, so I make sure that I can get them. people are still making the mistake of having a photo that doesn't represent them well. Everyone's talking about this, and it hasn't gotten through to quite everyone yet, but you do need a profile photo and you want it to be professional. So that's one mistake that tons of people are making. Also, people are writing profiles that are not 100% complete, which gives them lower rankings in searches. They're not using keywords to their full advantage.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really think about, well, what are people searching for? And put those keywords in your headline, and not just put them in your headline. A lot of people have picked up that you need keywords in the headline, but they haven't really picked up that you need them in all your job titles as well. Like they'll still just put a basic job title, which is the job title that they were given by their company, and they don't realize they can add additional keywords to get found in searches.
Right.
So what else? There's some things that people don't know you can do, like add symbols and lines and bullets that can spice up your LinkedIn profile. So they may end up with profiles that just kind of look boring and people aren't even going to read them. There is something about the visual impact, even of a LinkedIn summary or a headline, that will make people pay attention.
Right.
And then in addition to the keywords for getting found in searches, you also need to have a robust network. And that means at least 500 connections. And I think as more and more people are reaching the 500 connection mark, you actually need to have even more than that. I would encourage people to have a 1,000 or more connections, because the degree of connection that you have with someone is going to affect how high you come up on searches. Right. If someone doesn't have a paid account from LinkedIn, then they're not going to be able to see any more than 100 results when they do a search. And you might just not show up at all. I even have people still who I can't find or have a very difficult time finding, even if I have their name and search for them on LinkedIn, because they just don't have enough connections to show up high enough when I do a search.
Right. So what are your thoughts on and recommendation on using the premium, I don't even know what it's called other than premium, right? Paying for LinkedIn.
I still do not have a premium account. Okay. I know that one of my rivals here in Wisconsin has just bit the bullet and got himself a premium account. There, for someone like me, it has advantages and disadvantages. If I had a premium account, then I could tell people how to use it. And right now I really
you
can't.
You can write a book on that.
I could write a book on the premium account. Exactly. And I can't do that. But I just saw the other person who I know just got a premium account just wrote his little weekly blog article that he puts out.
Right.
And he wrote about a function on LinkedIn that he said was a new function, but it's not, because it's only for people with a premium account. So right. I don't want to be in that situation where I can't tell if what I have is a premium feature or not. It was something like, and this is one reason that people would get a premium account, is that you can see more people who viewed your profile. If you really, really want to know who's interacting with you and your profile, you can see much more information. If you have a premium account, you'll be able to see who it is, and you can sort them by location or by other factors, which you just can't do. If you don't have a premium account, you can see maybe 5 people who viewed your profile, and that's it.
Gotcha.
So if that's important for you, get a premium account. And you can always try it and see if having that that feature available really makes a difference for you and gets you closer to whatever your target is. So if you're a job seeker, well, if you can see who viewed your profile and you see that recruiters are viewing your profile, you can write to them and follow up with them. So that's the advantage. Or if you're a business, you can see if there might be potential customers who are checking out your profile and what you have to offer. You really don't have a lot of that ability unless you have a premium account. And then you have some other options. The in-mails are a nice feature. If you have a premium account, you can send in-mails and you're guaranteed a response. So if you don't get a response, then you can send more in-mails.
Right.
So that's kind of nice. You have a little more cachet with the in-mails. One thing that was interesting to me as someone who doesn't have the account, I once got a client because he had tried sending an in-mail to someone else, and they actually suggested to him, because he didn't hear back from that other person who was also, I believe, a resume writer. And LinkedIn suggested other people to him, and I came up on that list, and he ended up hiring me. So that's one advantage, I guess, of having the premium account. You send an in-mail. If you don't get a response back, LinkedIn will suggest other people who might be in have similar profiles who you might want to contact.
Right. Now, what about embedding the different apps? Because, I mean, you can embed your Google Docs, YouTube videos. I mean, there's a lot of different apps. Do you encourage people to do that?
Yes, I do. Now, they're not apps anymore. They used to be called partner applications. And it's interesting. I just took out all the references to most of the references to partner applications from my book. So in the next edition, which should be coming out within a month or so, I hope, I used to have a whole chapter about LinkedIn partner applications and how they were taken away and how you can get the same functionality without the actual partner application.
Okay.
But that was so long ago now that I'm just talking about putting interesting information on your profile. So I would think of it more in terms of, well, what do I want to show to the world and what can I link to that would be interesting for my viewers to see?
Right.
If you're a business owner and you have a cool SlideShare or PowerPoint, you put it on SlideShare, then you have a link to it, post it right to your LinkedIn profile. You can post any document. So if you're a job seeker, you can post your resume. Or if you're an artist, you can post pictures of some of your pieces. There's just, you know, or you can put links to videos, of course, on YouTube. You can put any link onto your profile, and it makes things much more interesting for people. And they might be clicking on those before they even read anything in your profile.
Right. So job hirers, I mean, employers, are they really poring over that LinkedIn profile?
Yes, absolutely. Every person who's hiring anyone will look at your LinkedIn profile. I have clients who were told by people who did hire them that one of the things that impressed them was their LinkedIn profile.
Okay.
It actually makes a difference. And these are people in fairly senior positions.
Right. What are your tips on getting recommendations? Is it basically the old good old givers gain? Go provide them and people provide them back for you?
That's part of it. I would say that definitely works with endorsements. There are endorsements on LinkedIn and then there are recommendations.
Okay.
The endorsements are those things that you can just click and say, yes, this person has this skill, and you don't have to be connected with them particularly. You can just say, yes, they have this skill. I have had people endorse me for things. I don't even know who those people are or how they think they know what I can do and what I can't do. However, if someone goes to your profile and they see you have 99 plus endorsements for a particular skill, they might trust that you at least know something about it. If you're a job seeker, then one of the LinkedIn premium packages is specifically for recruiters, and those recruiters can actually search on skills. So they can get a list of people with the most, most endorsements for a particular skill and on down. So they might actually use that to find potential candidates for positions. So that's endorsements. And a lot of times if you give endorsements, someone will give you one back.
Right.
With recommendations, it's not as much like that. I would actually approach people and ask them if they're on LinkedIn, approach them and ask them if they will recommend you. Sometimes you can't recommend someone who you want to recommend you. I mean, I can't write recommendations for my clients because I don't know firsthand. All I know is what they told me
right.
about their accomplishments. So I can't really write them recommendations. And the other thing is sometimes people will look, is there a mutual recommendation, tit for tat? And they'll discount the recommendation if they see that. Like, oh, you only gave me a recommendation because I gave you one. And so it doesn't look quite as good as the one-way recommendations.
Right.
I think people are writing fewer recommendations on LinkedIn ever since the endorsements started being such a big thing. And I think that's sad because recommendations are how you really get to know what someone can do. I trust recommendations, and you can't write your own recommendations. Someone else has to write it for you on LinkedIn. So if someone writes one, they really do value who you are and what you have to offer.
Yeah, it's just so easy. You know, every time you log in, boom, it just, hey, here's 17 things. You want one button you can endorse this person for. You know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
really? You know, I don't know. Let me think about it. You know, but you're right, because then you just gloss over it because it is so easy. Whereas at least writing It means something. At least you took at least 30 seconds to say something nice about that individual. So it's got to pack more punch.
Yeah, I think it does. And I don't really love how everything is transitioning over to endorsements, but I think it's just a valuable tool for recruiters. And I think that's why LinkedIn has gone in that direction.
What are your thoughts on LinkedIn groups?
LinkedIn groups can be great and they can be overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the groups have so many members now that it just, anything that you post there will just get lost.
Yep.
But you know, I personally, and this is really just my personal feeling right now, I find that some of the smaller, more local groups are more valuable. More people will respond if I post something there. And then there are also some groups that are just better moderated than others, where the moderator is really involved, and those groups can also be valuable to contribute to.
Right.
There's something about having a great moderator that makes people interact more
right
within the groups. But do join groups. And if you're a business owner, join the groups where your customers are going to be members. Find those groups and join them, and then give them good information. I do get clients from LinkedIn, and sometimes it's just because they do a search for keywords and they find me, but sometimes it's because they like the information that I am providing on LinkedIn. I have a system where, you know, I do write my blog every week now, and my blog articles get posted to my LinkedIn groups.
Right.
And very often people like them or people respond to them on those groups. So I still find that it's worthwhile to do. If anyone wants to find out more about me, then they can see what I've posted in those groups. There's a new platform coming out with LinkedIn, which is LinkedIn Publishing. So I don't yet have the capability of being a LinkedIn publisher. I've applied for it and I'm waiting. But that might sort of take over in a way, as a way to put out good information and have people interact with it.
Right.
I just don't know yet because it's very new.
Yep.
It's going to be rolled out to everybody, but right now only a few people have it, and you need to ask to be one of the early adapters.
Right. I think I asked, but you know, these things come out. I'm like, yep, click, and then I forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just wait.
Yeah,
so you can do. I mean, they apply, and you just got to wait.
I'm very curious to find out how that rollout goes and what the impact is in, you know, how many people are reading the material that I put out.
Right.
Yeah.
So what about starting groups? Do you give people that advice?
Definitely. It's a great idea to start a group and build membership there. And then if you do that, then you can put out emails to those groups. Once a week, you can put out your own email as the moderator. And there's some groups that have become very successful, have built businesses starting with LinkedIn groups. Things like Ivy Exec have really, that LinkedIn is their bread and butter. It's like where they started, where they left from.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good idea to start a group. For a while, people were starting groups and counting their group ownership as their job. And I wouldn't do that unless you really make it a full-time job and you are an entrepreneur who's starting a LinkedIn group in order to start a business.
So they're saying that's their job. Just somehow they're driving enough traffic to their own site or pushing whatever thing they've created to create revenue.
Well, I would say if they are, then they could count it as their job. But there are some people who are putting their group ownership just as their current job title, even though they're not really doing all of that.
Right. Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So is has this become like the primary thing you do, or are you getting into other types? I mean, you have your name is the essay expert. So, but has LinkedIn become a big chunk? Or are you still doing a lot of just resumes, and do you help people get into college like with that type of essays, or is it any type of writing projects y'all can take on?
Yeah, well, I still do all of that. LinkedIn is definitely one big chunk. The biggest piece of my business is the resume writing, and we do a lot of executive resume writing.
Okay.
And we also write a lot of LinkedIn profiles for executives as well as mid-level managers. And you know, we work with a pretty high-level clientele.
At the executive level, it makes sense that, I mean, resumes are important. But, I mean, are people still reading even the average Joe Blow resume? Or are they kind of glossing it over? Okay, it's formatted properly, looks okay, and then get into the meat of it. Because, I mean, I remember in my job days going up to an interview and somebody asking me some question that's like literally in paragraph one, you know, and I wanted to say, dude, you didn't read my resume, did you?
Or they're just checking to make sure that you're familiar with it.
Yeah.
Someone else didn't make it up for you.
Yeah. Make sure I didn't submit it for one of those resume awards.
Yeah, right. My experience is that people still do read resumes. And you still can get jobs without a resume. I've had clients who I write their resume, and before we're even done, they're like, oh, I just got a job through networking. Great. although sometimes that job doesn't work out, and then they use the resume later. But people do read resumes. I have a lot of clients who say, wow, you know, the process of getting the resume written, we have a very extensive questionnaire. It is a project to fill out the questionnaire that we start our clients with. And people have told me that just going through that exercise is the most valuable part of getting their resume written, because they become so familiar with what they have to offer and what they've done in the past and what their accomplishments are, that when they walk into the interview and the person starts asking them questions about their resume, they just have everything right at the tip of their tongues. They are just ready. And yes, people ask questions still from the resume. They also look very carefully at the LinkedIn profile, as you asked earlier. Sometimes people find, like a recruiter might find you on LinkedIn, read your whole LinkedIn profile, and then ask you for your resume later. And I see the two things, the LinkedIn profile and the resume, as complementing each other. I don't like to make them exactly like carbon copies of each other. Oh, take the resume summary and stick it in the LinkedIn summary. I don't do that at all. They're different intentions and different modalities. You've got 2,000 characters in the LinkedIn summary. You have probably less in a resume summary because you got to get quickly into what you've done and what you've accomplished. So they're very complementary. And people ask me, oh, what should I do first? Which is more important, the resume or the LinkedIn profile? And I can just say you need both, because if they find you on LinkedIn, they're going to ask you for your resume. And if you send in your resume, the first thing they're going to do is Google you and then your LinkedIn profile. And, you know, they're going to look for you on LinkedIn.
Right. What about on the flip side, what should business owners be looking for to see if somebody's BSing them? You know, because a lot of my listeners are entrepreneurs or business owners. They're not looking for a job. But they're probably getting slammed with resumes all the time.
So you're asking what should they be looking for? Well,
yeah.
They
are there any telltale signs that somebody is full of crap?
I would say, I mean, personally, I would be turned off by something that has a lot of sort of flowery language in it. Like they worked at behind the counter at a retail store, and they're making it into much more than it really is, and not getting down to the actual results that they got, or So I would be concerned about that. It's, you know, if someone does a really good job, I don't know how you're going to tell that they made anything up. But if you see a resume that you like, that's what the interview is for, really, because you start asking more questions about what they had on there. And it's going to become pretty clear if they can't give you more details and get into the full story of what they did. As an employer, you need to decide, like, what are the requirements, and then just be rigorous about not seeing people who don't meet those. And there are other ways to screen people that you're interested in as employees. You can have them jump through some hoops before they even get to the point of your reading their resume. You know, if there are all kinds of things you can set up. You can make them answer certain questions on a voicemail on the phone, and screen people that way, and just make them jump through some hoops before they get in front of you and take up a whole hour or two of your time. That's right. What I would say.
Yeah.
See what they're made of.
Cause that's the advice I give them. Actually, I've got a program called No More Sales Duds. And I have them, I have the hiring person make that, prospect, you know, job candidate jump through hoops. They can email, but they can't, they can call 3 days later, but you know, from the email, when they send it in, then it sends them a response and it tells them to mail their resume in, because most people won't take the time to mail a resume. So that weeds out a bunch, and then has them pick your particular time to call in and certain things to say. So it's very scripted for the hiring manager to keep them from getting pummeled. Because it's so easy to just blast resumes out.
Yeah, so you'll lose a lot of people by making them do those things. And those are the people who won't do them are the people who aren't interested enough in the job, or who aren't organized enough, or who can't follow instructions, right?
Right.
So, yeah, it's a great way to test and see if people are really who they say they are.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's the best place people to find you? Is it just the SAExpert.com?
That's the best place. You can also find me on LinkedIn or Facebook.
What's your approach on LinkedIn? If somebody doesn't know you, I mean, they're going to send you a connection. Do you pretty much accept it? Like, do you look at their profile? Like, okay, this person looks like a real person, and you accept?
Yeah, I do. And part of my sales process also is that when someone connects with me, if I think that they're a legitimate person, I will give them some feedback on their profile.
Oh, wow.
Well, and that's something
I just sent you a request, so I'd be interested to see what you say.
Yeah, we'll see. But that's, you know, that's the way that I interact with people. I tell them about my book and things like that. And I think that's something that a lot of business owners could work into their process of accepting invitations on LinkedIn.
Uh-huh.
You know, they can go and research who is this person, look at their profile, and start up a conversation, and you could end up with a new client.
So what do people put on that, though? So if, you know, you have options, like we've done business together, or you have other or friends, but, you know, if you click either of those, you've got to have that person's email address.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what do you say people, what should they select? Just say we've done business together and just pick one of the job titles?
You can do that. I do sometimes do that, although usually with people who are expecting in some level, like they're not totally surprised they've met me.
Right.
Even if we haven't done business together, I'll sometimes choose that. Sometimes people do have their email address in their profile, so you can get their email address that way.
Do you recommend people do that?
Yeah, if you have their email address, then, or can find their email address.
No. Do you recommend people put their email address in their LinkedIn profile?
Oh, I recommend that you put it in the contact information section.
Okay. Down towards
that's
the bottom.
That's where I have mine. It's its own section, and actually it shows up at the top now. There's
a little tab. Yeah.
There's a little tab that says contact info. Right. And I think if I click on contact info, I should be able to get your email address.
Okay.
Especially if you're a business owner and I might want to do business with you, I should be able to get your email address.
Right.
some people put it in the body of their email or in the body of their profile, like in the summary section. I would recommend that you don't put your exact email address there, because I think there's probably someone who's hacking in and going to take that address and start spamming you.
Right.
That's what I would predict. So if you're going to do that, I would make it, encrypt it sort of, you know, do the brackets and the @, write out the word @ or something like that. If you think you really need to do that, but I don't think you do. I think it's more important just to put it in the contact info so people can see it.
Right. Okay. Because, yeah, like if people that are listening to this and they want to connect with you, they can look you up and then go to the contact tab, find your email and grab that and then select other and enter your email when they send you a connection request.
Yes. And okay. It's BrendaB@thesaexpert.com. So.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Very nice. And so I'm looking at your homepage now. There's a link to your books, and you've got, what, 3 books now?
I have 3 books. I have How to Write a Killer LinkedIn Profile, which has basically been the number one bestseller in the business writing skills category on Amazon since July of 2012. So it's going on 2 years. Yeah, and as I said, I'm working on the next edition of that book.
Right.
I'm also working on a new website for anyone who sees my website and thinks, you know, what's going on with this, with this company. I am absolutely in the process of redesigning my website. My other 2 books are How to Write a Winning Resume,
okay,
50 Tips to Reach Your Job Search Target, and How to Write a Stellar Executive Resume. So if you're interested in any of those topics and you're a do-it-yourselfer, then those books are great. They're step by step, very easy to follow, very much how to. You can look at each tip, each chapter, and go and do something that's very clear with examples and their images and very accessible books.
Right. Cool. Very nice. Well, I thank you for taking the time to share your wisdom. And
thank you, Wes.
Any parting words for our listeners?
Well, I had fun. And yeah, my parting words are, especially when it comes to LinkedIn, you can create the best profile in the world. And if you just sit there and don't do anything about it, nothing's going to happen. So still, people are human beings, even when they have a LinkedIn profile. So talk to them, arrange for phone conversations. If you're traveling, go meet some of your LinkedIn contacts. If that's the way I think that you'll really get the most value out of LinkedIn. So go do it and have fun.
Wow. Be a human being. Go figure.
Yeah.
It's crazy that people forget that. But that's a great parting words of wisdom. So again, Brenda, thanks for taking the time. And everybody, please visit Brenda at theessayexpert.com. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Wes.
So how you like them apples? Brenda was what we would traditionally call and consider successful. Maybe we'd even be envious, right? She attended Yale, obviously an Ivy League school, became an attorney. You would think her future was just laid out for her and life would be easy, but she was not satisfied. Now she makes most of her money, or at least a big part of her business, is helping people with a profile, with a medium, through a business, LinkedIn, that did not even exist when she was going to college. So you need to be flexible. You need to be open to new opportunities. You need to listen to your little voice. You need to follow your dreams and your passions. Live within your means so you have options. It doesn't mean you go make more money, which, hey, knock yourself out. But it doesn't matter if you make a lot of money, because if you spend more money, you're still going to end up broke. So live within your means until you figure out your passion and what it is you want to go after to build the life that you want. I recommend, encourage you to check out what Brenda's got going on over at the Essay Expert. I have used LinkedIn. I was a very early adopter, as we talked about. You know, I've got a private group that I run, and That has been a big lead generator for me. I get a lot of traffic from LinkedIn. If you sell B2B, you know, business to business, it's a fantastic medium, you know, portal for you to stay in contact with people, to track them down, to get in touch. So I encourage you to spend some time making sure your LinkedIn profile is as good as it can be. If you want to make your overall business as good as it can be, check out marketlikeaman.com. It's my new membership coaching program. It's open to everyone, even women. But my story is that of a man. So that's why the name, Market Like a Man. So I'll give you an insider's peek into everything that I do, from podcasting to writing books to selling to sales automation, copywriting, and we'll be building that out over time. So when you join right now as an early bird in this pre-launch during April and May of 2014, it'll be the lowest price it'll ever be. So again, do yourself a favor, check out marketlikeaman.com. And as always, remember to sell different.